Eddie, I have to go. I love you, sugar. Whatever else happens, you remember that. Never forget it. I love you. This is... Her eye fell on the semicircular readout on the panel behind the mic. The needle had fallen out of the red. She thought it would stay in the yellow until the labor was over, then subside into the green. Unless something went wrong, that was. She realized she was still gripping the mic. This is Susanna Mio signing off. God be with you, boys. God and Ka. She put the microphone down and closed her eyes. 12. Susanna sensed the difference in Mia immediately. Although she'd reached the Dixie Pig and her labor had most emphatically commenced, Mia's mind was for once elsewhere. It had turned to Odetta Holmes, in fact, and to what Michael Schwerner had called the Mississippi Summer Project. What the Oxford Rednecks had called him was the Jew Boy. The emotional atmosphere to which Susanna returned was fraught like still air before a violent September storm. Susanna, Susanna, daughter of Dan. Yes, Mia. I agreed to mortality. So you said. And certainly Mia had looked mortal in Fedic. Mortal and terribly pregnant. Yet I've missed most of what makes the short time life worthwhile, haven't I? The grief in that voice was awful. The surprise was even worse. And there's no time for you to tell me, not now. Go somewhere else, Susanna said, with no hope at all. Hail a cab, go to a hospital, we'll have it together, Mia. Maybe we can even raise it to... If I have it anywhere but here, it'll die, and we'll die with it. She spoke with utter certainty. And I will have it. I've been cheated of all but my chap, and I will have it. But, Susanna, before we go in, you spoke of your mother. I lied. It was me in Oxford. Lying was easier than trying to explain time travel and parallel worlds. Show me the truth. Show me your mother. Show me, I beg. There was no time to debate this request pro and con. It was either do it or refuse on the spur of the moment. Susanna decided to do it. Look, she said. 13. In the land of memory, the time is always now. There is an unfound door. Oh, lost. And when Susanna found it and opened it, Mia saw a woman with her dark hair pulled back from her face and startling gray eyes. There is a cameo brooch at the woman's throat. She's sitting at the kitchen table, this woman, in an eternal shaft of sun. In this memory, it is always 2:10 on an afternoon in October of 1946. The big war is over. Irene Day is on the radio, and the smell is always gingerbread. Odetta, come and sit with me, says the woman at the table, she who is mother. Have something sweet. You look good, girl. And she smiles. Oh, lost, and by the wind grieved, ghost, come back again. 14. Prosaic enough, you would say, so you would. A young girl comes home from school with her book bag in one hand and her gym bag in the other, wearing her white blouse and her pleated St. Anne's tartan skirt and the knee socks with the bows on the side, orange and black, the school colors. Her mother, sitting at the kitchen table, looks up and offers her daughter a piece of the gingerbread that just came out of the oven. It is only one moment in an unmarked million. A single atom of event in a lifetime of them. But it stole Mia's breath, you look good, girl, and showed her in a concrete way she had previously not understood how rich motherhood could be if, that was, it was allowed to run its course uninterrupted. The rewards? Immeasurable. In the end, you could be the woman sitting in the shaft of sun. You could be the one looking at the child sailing bravely out of childhood's harbor. You could be the wind in that child's unfurled sails. You. Odetta, come and sit with me. Mia's breath began to hitch in her chest. Have something sweet. Her eyes fogged over, the smiling cartoon pig on the awning first doubling, then quadrupling.